My title tonight is The Refining Process. We're going to start with Malachi 3. The refining process. How many of you have been going through a lot lately? It's been hard. And you wonder, you know, am I going to make it? I want to talk to you about God's refining process. In Malachi 3, it says, He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. That word refine means to bring to a pure state, to purify what is coarse, vulgar, or debasing. And when silver and gold is purified, it needs to be brought to a temperature of about 1700 for silver and 1900 degrees Fahrenheit in order for it to melt. And once the metal melts, there's like what they call the dross, which is the impurities come to the surface, and then it gets skimmed off. And then you're left with the pure silver or the pure gold. And this is what God tells us he puts us through so he can refine us and bring certain characters in us. So we're going to read in Genesis 37:2. I want us to look at the life of Joseph, because the life of Joseph paints a great picture of this process, of this refining process that we go through. In Genesis 37:2, we're going to pick up the story when Joseph was 17 years old. It says, let's start from verse 5. It says, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bow low before me. Imagine going to work on Monday and telling everybody in your job, hey, I had a dream last night, and I dreamt that I'm going to be the next CEO, and all of you are going to bow before me. All of you are going to answer to me. Imagine going to your office on Monday and saying that. What do you think people are going to think and wonder? It's like, whoa, she lost her mind. The first lesson we see here is found in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. As we read these passages about Joseph, we hear a lot of me, myself, I. And, you know, as we read in Matthew 16, Jesus has to work that out of Joseph. So he's not looking. So it's not about him, but it's what God can do through him. And as you see, Joseph's family was not able to accept or even enjoy the gift that Joseph had, because all they could see and hear was Joseph. Everything came out of everything was him. And his family was not even able to recognize that he had a true gift from God, because all they saw was him. When we interact with people, when people interact with you, who are they seeing? Do they see you, or do they actually see God in you? And as we go along through the stories of Joseph, we're going to see how God puts us in the fire to start purifying us, purifying our motives, purifying our thoughts, purifying why we do the things that we do. The second lesson is that God was ordering Joseph's steps. As we go through the story, we see that Joseph's brother hated him so much they couldn't stand him, that they took him and they sold him into slavery. He ends up a slave being sold, ends up in Egypt. He's in Israel, and he gets sold, and he ends up in Egypt because his brothers hated him so much. And we have, one thing we have to take into account, you know, as we interact with people, people are going to hurt us. It's an inevitable thing of life. You know, many times people don't want to hurt us. Or sometimes we hurt people and we don't even know. And it's very easy to take an offense, you know, as we interact with people. But we have to make the choice to now allow unforgiveness to enter our hearts. We have to make a choice to not let bitterness control us. It's not easy. I'm not going to lie here, stand here and tell you it's easy. But as you make that choice, the Holy Spirit enables you to lay down the offense. And it may be more than once. You might have to say more than once, God, I choose to forgive. Lord, so-and-so did this to me. Lord, so-and-so is getting on my nerves. When you have somebody like we saw in that video that's constantly, that coworker or that person in your class is constantly coming at you, and you have to, family member. I have family members that it's like, Lord, give me your grace. During Christmas, you're like, God, give me your grace. I'm going to see so-and-so, and you got to give me the grace. But make the choice. Make the choice. And God gives you the ability to not be able to hold on to that offense. As we continue the story of Joseph, now he's in Egypt. He was purchased by Potiphar, Pharaoh's captain of the guard, in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph. Here, did you catch that? The Lord was, now he's a slave. He's working for Potiphar, a slave. And it says, the Lord was with him. So he succeeded in everything he did, and he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. Even Potiphar knew. Potiphar doesn't know God. Even he realized, wow, there's something about this guy. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So here we see Joseph, a slave. Most of us would have been like, God, why are you allowing this to me? He's taken away from his family, his father who loved him. He was his father's favorite. He gets ripped away from him. And yet, in the midst of this, he's able to excel. He's able to allow God to work in him and be a testimony. The third lesson we learn is the Lord was with Joseph and caused everything he did to prosper. What Joseph didn't realize was that he was in training. He's a slave. You know, if when we look at the natural, we could see, oh God, why are you allowing this in my life? You know, and we can just see the bad. But what we don't realize, when God puts us in those situations where we're being squeezed, when the fire is being turned on, is that we're in training. God was training him and building character in him and prepare, because he was going to use him to save two nations from starvation. Egypt was about to experience 7 years of famine, and God gave him the wisdom and the character to be able to lead a whole nation. Pharaoh gave him in authority. So he made him second in command, and he told him, whatever you do, whatever you say, it's golden. But Joseph, as he's in this trial, he doesn't realize that this is what God is producing in him. And one thing we need to understand is when we're in the fire, God is molding us and shaping us into the vessel that he wants us to be. We don't see it. All we see is God, I'm in the fire. God, I'm suffering. God, I don't like the situation I'm in. God, take me out of this. But if we step back and we're able to realize God is with us. In the fire, God is with you. God has not forsaken you. And he's molding you and shaping you and forming his character in you. It doesn't feel like it. I'm not going to lie. It's not fun being in the fire. It hurts. And, you know, many times we want to run. But don't spy small beginnings. God uses those moments to mold us and get us to where he is calling us. Do you remember Adam Fields when he shared a few weeks ago? You know, he wanted to be a pastor, so he's in Florida looking for, you know, to be a pastor, and every door closes. He ends up at Best Buy. And what happens? He made the best of it. And where God led him. Let's continue reading in Genesis 39:6. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Fourth lesson, do what is right. When you're in the fire, do what is right. It's very easy when somebody is like breathing down your neck or you feel like your back is against the wall and you have a decision to make. It's very easy to, you know, take things into your own hands and start, so-and-so is yelling and you start yelling back. You're driving and somebody cuts you off and... But it's like, do the right thing. Joseph refused to give in to the temptation. I mean, in this day and age, it's like, what's the big deal? I mean, she's throwing herself at you. Go ahead, do it. But he says, no, this would be a great sin against God. 1 Peter 4:19 says, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. And trust your life to the God who created you. He will never fail you. When you are up against the wall, when you feel like God, like Joseph, like Joshua was sharing, you know, he's sharing the glory side. You know, he came out on the other side. But I remember praying with him as his family is going through this, getting ready to be evicted, getting the text at 1 a.m, pray for us. You know, they could have taken things into their hands. But it's like, no, God, we're going to trust you. God, I'm in the fire. God, I don't know how you're going to answer, but trust him. And you will see. He will come through. When you're in the fire, resist the temptation to murmur and complain of how miserable you have it. It's very easy to start saying, oh, my God, you don't know how bad I have. It's very easy to go down that route. Instead, allow God to make you a blessing. In the middle of your storm, when things look like, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Lord, I don't like being. I've been there. When you're like, Lord, I don't know if I can make it. Make the choice to say, God, I will not take things into my own hands. I will allow you to make me a blessing in the situation I'm in. Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph of rape, and he ends up in jail. Here he is, he's doing the right thing. He's a blessing. Everything that he touched in Potiphar's house prospered. And now here's Potiphar's wife accusing him falsely. And again, He ends up in jail. In verse 39, 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Falsely accused. He could have been like, man, I'm going to sue that woman. No, she didn't. Call my lawyer. I'm going to sue and I'm going to bring her down. I'm going to bring Potiphar down. Everything I did for him. But he doesn't do that. He goes to prison. Again, he gives it his all. He begins and everything he touches, God starts blessing. You know, again, guarding his heart not to turn, not to get bitter, not to get resentful, not to take revenge, not to take things into his own hands. And then we see, so we see that the Lord is with him in jail. Then he meets a cupbearer and a baker in prison. They have these dreams, and nobody can interpret the dreams. So now, as you know, when we began, Joseph had the gift of interpreting dreams. You know, he had a dream, and God just gave him that gift to interpret dreams. Now he's in jail, and these two individuals, they have dreams. So he's able to interpret them. For one of them, he was going to be released. The other one was going to die. 3 days later, it happens. So as the cupbearer is the one that gets out, the baker gets killed. They. So, but listen to the language change in Joseph now. In Genesis 48, he tells them, interpreting dreams is God's business. We see him when he started off, he was like, I, me, myself, mine, me, I. Now he's in jail, he's gone through all this. And you see how God starts to, the impurities through all this trial that he's going through are coming up, and God is skimming that stuff off. And now you hear the change in him. He says, interpreting dreams is God's business. So he realizes, it's not me. This has nothing to do with me. But it's all God. This gift that I have comes from God. It doesn't come from me. As the cupbearer is released from prison, Joseph asks him before he goes in verse 14, and please remember me and do me a favor when things go well with you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. You could see the change happening in Joseph, but there's still things that God has to work in him. He's trying to get out of jail, out of his own, you know, he's trying to make it happen. You know, I don't want to be in this place. And so he's trying to, you know, through connections, come on, say something for me so I can get out of here. And you know what? Until God is done with you, working whatever it is that he's trying to work with you, you won't get out of this. You won't get out of the fire. The Bible talks about when silver and gold are refined, they're put in this vessel called the crucible. And that's a vessel that's able to withstand that temperature. So the crucible for us represents that trial or that the circumstances that we're in that are producing the fire in us. And until God completes the work with us, we won't get out of there. It's a process that God has to complete in us. And as you know, as soon as the cupbearer gets out, Joseph, he doesn't remember who Joseph is. He goes on about his life. He gets reinstated to his position. Completely forgot about Joseph. 2 years go by. And Joseph is still in jail another 2 years. In verse 41:14, Pharaoh starts having dreams. He has two dreams, and nobody in his court is able to interpret them. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer remembers Joseph. As soon as God is done with dealing with you in that area that you're in, things start to move quickly. When Joseph comes before Pharaoh, he goes, it is, again, you hear the language shift. He says, it is beyond my power to do this. But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. The last or the sixth thing we learn is that Joseph learned that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Each and every one of us, if we really want God to use us, we'll have to get out of the way where it's not about us, but what God wants to do through us. There's a world out there that's dying, and we can be very self-focused. You know, we want God to bless us. We can be very narrow-focused on just our little world. But God has a, God sees things that we don't see. God saw that there was a famine coming, and there were millions of people that were going to die unless he did something. And he had to take Joseph through this process of refining so he can get him ready. So at the end of it all, it wasn't about Joseph and what he could interpret and what, that it wasn't about him, but that it was what God was going to do through him. And each one of us, if we want to really be used by God, God is going to refine us. God is going to purify us and show us what's in our heart. What is the motives? Why do we do things, the things that we do? He will challenge our desires, you know, things that we want, and ask us, do you want my will for your life, or do you want what you want? And you come, it's almost like you come to a crossroad. You know, the Bible says that narrow is the way, and few are there that walk in that narrow road. So if you want to be used by God, God is gonna start to hem you in. But you know what? It's totally worth it. Because God is good. God is love. When you allow him to take you through this process, and learn that in the difficult times, that's what we get to know God, and we get to hear and know his heart. Because if you ask yourself, when everything is going good, what do? We turn to like, okay, God, I don't need you. I got this. But in the fire, it causes you to cry out to him and say, God, I need you. And you know, God will start bringing us and hemming us in because he loves us. And he wants more for us. He's like, there's so much. You don't see what this world is going through. What's out there. Allow me to take you through a refining process so that you could see that I want to use you. And I want to use you to touch and take you to places that you cannot go on your, you know, by yourself. So I'm going to end with this. If the musicians can come. I don't know how many of you are experiencing anything like this when you're like, God, I don't know if I can do it. Some of you might be getting ready to say, you know what, forget this. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. God's got you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to let you fail. Cry out to him. When you're in those situations, when you feel like, cry out to him. Don't turn away from him. Don't run away from him, but run to him. And be honest. You don't have to put on a front. Just be honest and say, God, I don't like being in this place. God, I don't understand why you're allowing this in my life. Be honest with him. and run to him. And he will start revealing himself to you, and you will get to know him in a way that you never have. It's worth it. He will open up your spiritual understanding to things that, you know, you may try to read the Bible, it makes no sense to you. But if you allow God to do his purifying work in you, he will do such a deep work in you, and you will get to know him in such a way. And you'll see that God is love. God is love. You will really understand. And even if you're having a struggle with that because somebody has hurt you, ask him, Lord, I don't know if you love me. Can we stand? I mean, if you've been fighting, resisting, and are ready to pull the escape hatch, come up. Surrender to him. Because he wants to do a deep work. If you're tired of fighting, come and give your fight to God. I can't get away from this. But some of you have a hard time believing that God loves you. Somebody deep, close to you may have really hurt you, and you have a hard time believing that God loves you. But you know, his very nature is love, and he can't deny that. That's who he is. And if that's you, if you feel like what you're going through is because God's punishing you, because you feel he doesn't love you, he wants to tell you that's not true. He died for you. If you were the only one, he still would have chosen the cross. And if you're having a hard time believing that, ask him, say, God, I don't believe that. I know it in my head, but I don't know it in my heart. And he wants to show you that if you were the only one, he still would have done it. He would have chosen the cross just for you. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. God, I pray. Lord, those who are struggling with knowing your love because they have been so hurt. Lord, whether it be a parent, Lord, a boyfriend, a sibling, a friend who hurt them so deeply, and they're afraid that you're going to do it, you're going to hurt them too. Oh God, I pray that you would heal that hurt. I pray that you reveal yourself as a loving God. Lord, our God, that's there. Oh, God, when we're weeping, when we're at our lowest, you're there. Lord, you weep with us. You understand, Lord, our inner, deepest pain. God, and I pray that you would heal tonight. Heal the brokenhearted. Set free those who have been so hurt, so abused. Lord, show them that you are not like that. That you came and you died so that we would experience freedom. Lord, you allow the fire in our lives so you can purify us and make us more like you. My God in heaven, open up our minds to grasp this truth. That you are love. That is your nature. God, I pray for a revelation of this truth for everyone here who feels that you are punishing them when that is the furthest from the truth. Lord, when you correct us, it's so that we can get back on the right track. Lord, your correction is to get us, Lord, to do the right thing. Your correction is not to reject us. but so that we would draw closer to you. My God, give us that revelation tonight. Lord, and those that are going through the fire, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that they know tonight that you are there with them in the fire. Lord, that you are the second man in the fire with them. They're not alone. They're not going through the fire on their own, but that you're carrying them. The moments that they feel that they can't go on, Lord, you pick them up and you carry them. Lord, reveal your love to us. Lord, and your goodness and your faithfulness. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. Lord, and I pray that you would teach us to run to you. Lord, when we don't understand what's going on around us, that we would run to you. Have your way tonight. Change all those who that came up and who may not have come up, Lord, to surrender all to you so that you can use us, Lord, in ways that we can never imagine. In the name of Jesus, I pray.